It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Rich, I'm sorry there. I was gonna duck that out and say Richard Probst. It's not Matt Soze again.
It's not Matt Soze. I am not a film guru. I'm more like a film court jester, I think. As you have probably guessed, this is not Matthew Soze. He is off playing Benedict in Much Ado About Nothing at the Richmond Shakespeare Festival this weekend. And I don't think that he's ever really going to come back. I think he's gotten really attached to the whole Shakespeare thing. I mean, it's all I hear him talking about on Facebook now is, you know, come to Richmond. Why would anybody go to Richmond, first of all?
I'm not touching that.
Oh, come on. Come on. You know it's true. Have you ever been to Richmond?
I have not.
So you haven't seen Matt's show. Aren't you, like, contractually obligated to go see that? I think his feelings are going to be hurt, dude.
Speaking of, dude, Lebowski this weekend.
Big Lebowski is at the Landmark Keystone Art Cinema, their Midnight Madness.
There's a lot going on.
It's a busy weekend.
We got new movies opening. We got midnight movies this weekend at Keystone Landmark, at the IMA. We got the Richmond Shakespeare Festival going on. IU Cinema is back in force.
We've got Heartland has a mini-fest going.
That's right. Heartland Mini-Fest is coming up in...
Bedford.
Yep.
So, great weekend for movie lovers.
Yeah, it is.
Unless you really like wide-release films, and it's a decent weekend for movie lovers.
It's okay. There have been better ones.
All right. So, anyway, this is Richard Probst. I'm from TheIndependentCritic.com. I am filling in for Matthew Soze. I appreciate the opportunity once again. Joining me this week is Shane Cooper. Hi, Shane.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You're absolutely welcome. Shane's the general manager with Carmike Cinemas.
At Metropolis 18 out in Plainfield.
Metropolis 18 out in Plainfield.
Very cool.
Which is kind of a junior Richmond, I think.
It's coming up. It's coming up. And by the way.
What?
I'm from Richmond.
Are you really?
I really am.
Oh!
So you got the job even though you can't read.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I am only kidding. I am only kidding, folks. For all of you Richmond lovers, please know I attended grad school in Richmond, and I love the town. I'm lying, but I'm trying to make up to you. So
I don't live in Richmond now. There's a reason I don't live in Richmond now. So
it's one of the least wheelchair-friendly towns I've ever seen, and yet the town itself.
Oh, I forgot about that. That you had that. Don't you have a blog about that? Yes,
I do.
Yes,
I haven't. What are you trying to say, Kobe? Don't get me confused right
now.
No,
I forgot one time you were talking about the best and worst wheelchair accessible places.
Absolutely.
That you've been. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I do, for those of you who don't know, I write a blog called The Gimp Goes Shopping.
That's what it was. Yes.
Talk about accessibility in businesses and communities, and I rant a lot because I guess we've all gathered I like to rant a lot. So anyway. Check out thegimpgoshopping.com if you get a chance.
And The Independent Critic.
And TheIndependentCritic.com. So it's kind of an interesting, kind of a sad weekend, or weekend film. We've lost a couple of semi-big
yes.
names. I do want to give them their due here a little bit. First one, Rick Mayall. Most of you are probably going to know him. It's weird. When I saw this on Facebook, when it was first announced, everybody, first of all, remembers him from Drop Dead Fred.
Right.
Which was his big film, even
sure.
though it wasn't actually a big film.
At least here in the States, yeah.
It seems like, that's true. A lot more popular in England, which is where he's from.
Oh, this guy.
You remember him?
Yeah.
The hair, the voice, the...
Yes.
Yeah, you have this look on your face like it's painful.
Well, yes, it is.
Oh, you kind of had the Jeff Daniels.
He spoke very highly of you, Kobe.
Rick Mayall spoke very highly of
you. He did. Right before he died, actually.
Well,
I'm defaming him already. I haven't even made it through the eulogy, and I'm already defaming him. Thanks.
We didn't even give this the proper setup here. We're just gonna go. We're gonna go right into Dead People We Like, and we'll catch up with the new movies coming out this week later in the show. But you want to go ahead and do this now?
Yeah, let's do this now.
Let's give it a proper introduction here.
Doing our the annual show of Dead People We Like.
There's a pretty big one this week.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Yes.
I sometimes forget how many different sounds Kobe has managed to put together.
It's a classy show.
It really is. It makes me weep, actually. I feel taller already.
Oh.
It's a beautiful thing. No. So Rick Mayall, he was 56 years old. I think I'm hearing that he died of a heart attack.
It was after a run or after a bike.
So that's why I don't do any exercise at all. So it shows, but that's okay. Let's see, what else was he in? He was an Emmy winner. People don't realize that. He won an Emmy for voiceover work for a project called The Willows in Winter. Everybody knows that I'm a Rocky Horror fan. I did the live cast for 2 years. He was in the sequel, which I think 13 people have seen.
I was just going to ask. I thought it was a very small number of people that have actually seen that.
I've not only seen it, I've actually seen it in a theater. So wow. I feel pretty privileged. And it's called Shock Treatment, and Rick played Rest Home Ricky. So anyway, there's a reason that it bombed, and it's not very good, but I have a lot of affection for it. So anyway, you know, still a loss. Certainly a loss for England. I know that a lot of people seem to have fond memories of Drop Dead Fred.
Yeah, I remember when that movie came out, and I remember being the only person I know that enjoyed it in any way, shape, or form. I remember a lot of people that I knew not liking it. And I haven't seen it in a very long time, so I think it's one of those movies I feel like I should go back and watch, because maybe it's a cult classic at this point.
I think so.
You know? Yeah.
I think exactly. And, I mean, I think people remember it fondly, and yet you didn't really like it when it came out.
Right. The thing I remember the most about the movie was Phoebe Cates. Phoebe Cates.
Cates is what I always remember about anything.
Exactly. That's my link for most movies. That's the bar
Phoebe
I set.
Cates.
Is Phoebe Cates.
That's why I watch Kevin Kline movies, just so I can think about Phoebe Cates. It's a beautiful thing. So anyway, rest in peace, Rick. Hope you're
Absolutely.
Having fun wherever you're at. Let's see. We did lose a big one this week, though. More dead people we like.
More dead people we like.
I really like this one. I don't like that she's dead, but she lived a full life. She died at 91. I'm talking about Ruby Dee.
Yeah, absolutely.
She was an Oscar-nominated actress for American Gangster. I was surprised to see that she did not get a nomination for Raisin in the Sun.
1961, yeah. I was shocked to see that as well. Because that's a thing that you think of when you think of from an acting standpoint with her is that movie and the role that she played. I was surprised to see that as well, but it was 1961, so I don't know that I'm completely surprised.
I mean, she was someone who, she's just been around forever. And,
right.
You know, she's one of those people, I don't know if you do this, but as I get older, I start to realize how much certain people have been through.
Right.
And you consider someone who was 91 and everything she has seen in her lifetime. And she and her husband, Ossie Davis, who I believe passed away about
2005. Why I know that off the top of my head, I don't know.
That's impressive.
2005, yeah.
I appreciate it. No, they were civil rights activists.
Absolutely.
They were both friends of Martin Luther King. I know her husband spoke at Malcolm X's funeral. I think he did the eulogy. And you think about all the changes she saw, not only in society, but in film. And it's just amazing to me to think about, you know, in one lifetime, that kind of change.
Yeah. I mean, she's one of those actresses whose contributions to society in general is probably as big is bigger off of the screen than it is on the screen.
Exactly.
You know, so
she was a recipient of the National Medal of Arts, the Kennedy Center Honors. I was reading through her award list. I mean, you're talking Grammy, Emmy, Obie, Drama Desk, SAG Award, and the Oscar nomination. I mean, that's just astounding. So truly a loss for cinema, and more than that, a loss for society, because she was just truly a remarkable woman who spent her entire life not only creating really wonderful art, but making a difference.
Absolutely. You know,
she used her platform to make life better for other people. So anyway, again, rest in peace. Hope you are now with Ossie, and you can make beautiful music wherever you are.
Dead people that we love.
Dead people that we love, yeah, truly. She is dead people that we love. Boy, that sounded crass, didn't it? So, anyway. There are a couple of films coming out this week, Kobe.
A couple.
Have you been to a theater recently?
Yes, but what did we see? Oh, my goodness, I cannot remember. Oh, we saw Blended.
Did you?
Yes. Bianca likes the Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore movies.
That's so sweet.
I'm sorry.
Did you know that before you married her?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
And actually, it's interesting that Rick Mayall passed away this week because I had not seen Drop Dead Fred, and she loves Drop Dead Fred. And we watched Drop Dead Fred, I think, for the first time. I saw Drop Dead Fred for the first time a couple, maybe just a couple months ago, really.
Wow.
And I don't get it.
You don't?
No, don't.
Maybe not.
But you love her anyway. Classic.
Yes.
That's beautiful, Kobe. I may actually cry before this show is over. Dude, that's what love's about.
Love conquers all.
That explains why I'm single, because I'd be dumping her.
Right, exactly.
No. I'd be like, woman, you're nuts. Get out.
You like Sandler and Drew Barrymore movies and Drop Dead Fred. This is a wrap.
Wow. It's time for a medication adjustment. No, I like Sandler.
We disagree on this.
Are you talking about lately, or just in the Barrymore pictures, or all around?
Historically, I like Sandler. Okay. Now, lately, I've not been real happy with some Jack and Jill. Horrible. That's my boy. Just horrible.
Grown Ups. The Grown Up series they're popular. His movies are popular, but I just can't.
Did you breathe a sigh of relief that this one actually kind of tanked a little bit?
I did, because well, I shouldn't say that, because you know it is my livelihood after all. But so I risk saying that. But it's sometimes you look at a movie and you know you wonder how is this is going. We talked about it. We said that you know Adam Sandler movies traditionally it doesn't matter. He could read the phone book for 30 minutes and it's going to open to $30 million. So that's kind of what we expected, and obviously this one didn't do that. And I don't know. I don't want to say it's refreshing, but it gives me hope. It gives me some hope.
And see, I kind of liked it. I mean, I'm not saying I thought it was a brilliant film.
Right.
I have a soft spot for Sandler.
Yeah, and then it's there friendly. You go again. Not everything has to be in, you know, earth-shattering, brilliant, you know, think piece.
I mean, look at this show.
Defining a generation.
Thank you.
Fine example.
Yes.
In that context, if you want to say that it's good compared to other Adam Sandler movies, okay.
Yeah.
I'll give you that, that it's better than other Adam Sandler's movies. But that's like asking me if I want to get punched in the face. Would I rather get punched in the side of the face or like in the temple? You know, like, okay, I've got choices.
I'll take a punch in the shoulder.
Right, exactly, exactly. So, you know, it's still,
are you
you're
trying
still
to
getting
say you
hit.
Don't like Adam Sandler films?
You know what? I loved Adam Sandler movies when I was 15.
And yet, basically, they help to pay your salary.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I probably, you know what? I'm sorry. I changed my mind. Go see Blended. Please come out to the Metropolis 18 and see Blended.
Is it still showing?
It's fantastic. Yes, we still have it. We still have it, yeah.
Wow.
We're still playing it. So, you know, I only feel somewhat bad about that because our movies that we do have that I would say, hey, absolutely, go see that. You know, that you want comedy? I've got better comedies for you.
You do?
So, 22 Jump Street, I think, is a better movie.
That's true. Actually, I would agree with that.
Okay. Neighbors is still out. I think that's a much better movie than 22
that's,
Jump Street.
That seems to be getting a lot of mix.
Than Blended.
Than Blended, yeah. All right. Well, let's get into this week's release before the show is actually over. which one should we start with, Kobe?
We were just talking about 22 Jump Street, so let's lead off with 22 Jump Street here. We've got the repairing of Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum.
Yes.
Again, Ice Cube is back.
Ice Cube.
I kind of looked from the trailers that pretty much everybody is...
They're back, yeah. And they're doing the same thing.
You got Rob Riggle's back for a bit, and David Franco's back for a bit.
If you haven't heard about it anywhere, on if you've been living under a rock here for the last month or so, let's take a listen.
Well, I hoped never to see you again.
What's up, dog?
We're back. Ladies, nobody cared about the Jump Street reboot, but you got lucky. So now this department has invested a lot of money to make sure Jump Street keeps going. The only problem is the Koreans bought the church back, so we're moving you across the road to 22 Jump Street.
You two are going to college.
Tight. We'll go around to classes and activities, ask around about the drug, find out who the dealer is.
If you don't have to do this, man, I just don't want you getting hurt.
I'm not gonna get hurt. Oh, it broke my ass.
White boy wasted.
It's engaged in my mouth!
Acoustic wasted.
We're like a power couple.
We're like Rihanna and Chris Brown. You're a good dancer. Sometimes you're meaner than I'd like you to be.
Drunk stagger, drunk swagger. I don't rap good, it don't matter.
We Jump Street, and we're about to jump in your ass.
Mm-hmm. Right in the crack.
White boy wasted.
I need you to be on your toes. I need you to improvise. Just follow my lead, okay?
Yo, Sleepy, what's up, homie?
Everyone saying that Barrio Sleepy, he like the Mexican Wolverine.
Why you not talking?
My name is Jeff.
It's Jefe, man.
Now, see, if you were sitting there laughing during the trailer, as I was, and as I think all three of us
absolutely,
but you were laughing because you remembered what's going on in the thing. And...
That certainly helps, but I recall... sitting there watching the trailer. Actually, I like both of these trailers for our wide release films this week. But this one, it pretty much shows you what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really does.
It's very broad. I enjoyed it a lot. I really did. You know, like I laughed. That's probably the most I've laughed in a movie
mm-hmm.
this year.
Really?
Like gut laughs. You know, like there are some things in there that just... And some of it's subtle and some of it... The in-referencing. They do a lot of in-referencing mm-hmm. to the fact that... That it's basically a cash grab, and that stuff is great. I thought that worked. That could be done improperly, but I thought it worked.
Yeah, I think a lot of films try to do that kind of thing,
right?
And it either comes off as pretentious or obvious,
right?
This, I mean, it was just fun, and I think part of it is the chemistry of these two. I mean, they have a terrific chemistry.
Absolutely agree with that.
They're both likable as actors. I mean, people like Channing Tatum. People like Jonah Hill.
Right.
I mean, I think they played off their personas very well.
Mm.
There are even some in-jokes to their personas.
Yeah.
You know, referencing other movies that they've made, some bad choices that they've made, and, you know, it's good. It's, I liked it a lot, so, very broad.
More than Blended?
Oh. Oh.
I think we're going to start a Blended scale.
I'm going to start an Adam Sandler blog and really get my feelings out of
oh,
it.
Oh, wow.
No, that's probably...
Again, I would probably link to
idea.
It.
No. Again, come see Blended. Come see a 22 Jump Street Blended double feature. So.
Go to both of them.
Spend a day at Metropolis.
Absolutely.
It really is a nice cinema.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's a nice shopping center. It's a very nice cinema. Good staff,
I
recall.
We put our focus on our staff.
You keep the sociopaths away from the main door?
Most of the time, yes. Most of the time, yes.
So that's a beautiful
But they
thing.
Let you in.
As long as I pay, they're going to let me in. So they do use the metal detector first. But
you know, Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill, just for a second before we get off 22 Jump Street, wouldn't it be great if those two just made several movies together? Sort of a Laurel and Hardy type thing where, or, you know, Hope and...
I think that...
I
think you're right. I think they are good together.
They are.
I think there are other things than this that they
Agreed.
Could do together and have it work.
Hey, stay through the credits because That credit scene is some of the funniest stuff in that movie. Like, one of the funniest bits is the ending credits. So make sure
you definitely
right
want to stay through the end of this one. You know, if you liked the original, certainly you're going to like this one. If you hated the original,
you're going to hate this.
You're going to hate this one.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's nothing new. I mean, they reference the fact that there's nothing new.
Right.
Repeatedly. I mean, they do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Except in college.
Correct.
So, I mean, but you know, if you're in the mood to laugh, if you're in the mood to, I think it's a nice, good old popcorn comedy.
Absolutely. Good summertime movie.
Summer blockbuster.
Yeah. So,
now that was a good movie.
Yeah. So,
that was a good movie.
That was a good movie. All right. Now, what about this next one? Let's go to How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Sure. That's it. Okay. Here we go.
We've really got to work on your solo gliding there, bud. Toothless. You're pouting, big baby boo. Well, try this on. Oh, you feeling it yet? Yeah, you wouldn't hurt a one-legged. This is Burke. Life here is amazing. Yeah! Dragons used to be a bit of a problem, but now they've all moved in.
Did I tell you that you look amazing today? Because you do.
And with Vikings on the backs of dragons, the world just got a whole lot bigger.
This is amazing!
What happened here?
What could have done this?
Think you know a lot about dragons. Let me show you some of what you don't know.
Can I know you?
No. You were only a babe. But a mother never forgets.
Unbelievable. You've been rescuing them.
Something is coming. Something you've never faced before.
The dragons are mine now. Protect our people. It's your destiny.
What you're searching for is in here.
Come on! This is very dangerous!
Are you kidding me?
Dragons and Vikings! Enemies again! Oh. You know that doesn't wash out.
I'm telling you, I love the How to Train Your Dragon series. I mean, and we know there's already a third one in the works.
Absolutely.
So I guess they're hoping this one does really well.
I think it's going to do well. Actually, both these movies this weekend, I think they're both tracking incredibly well.
Are they? Good.
Yeah. The 22 Jump Street is actually, this is sort of one of those odd inside baseball type facts, but 22 Jump Street is the highest tested comedy ever for Sony.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. 22 Jump Street. Highest ever. And so they've got high hopes. I think potentially both these movies are going to open domestic to greater than $50 million at the box office this weekend.
Which is really impressive.
That is very
impressive.
We'll stress,
that's really impressive.
Really impressive for two movies to do that. Usually you don't have to.
And when you consider that both are, in fact, sequels, too.
That's, even a bigger, bigger.
You know, and they're not, they're not action.
Right.
Right. It's not like Transformers
27. It's not Man of Steel, which opened this time last year, so, yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm with you. I absolutely loved this movie, and I love this. I was mentioning off air that the first one is one of my favorite movies. And so I went in with very high expectations, and I did not walk out disappointed.
I did not walk out.
You didn't walk out. You just stayed there. You're still there now. You're doing the show live from the theater.
Thank you, Kobe. Sorry. I always have to get it.
Every time.
Yes.
Every time without fail. It's like clockwork.
If there's a foot joke in the world, I find it.
Oh, man.
Nice.
Sorry.
I'm slow on the uptake.
That's one of my all-time favorites.
That's kind of my intro, too.
That's a really good one.
Repeated foot references.
Ah.
So, anyway. But it completely skews the show whenever I do it. But welcome to my world. You know. No, this was, again, I mean, I think the first one came out of nowhere. I mean, first of all, DreamWorks was not really known for animated features. No. I mean, they'd done them, but they hadn't been particularly impressive with them, let's be honest.
Shrek
was okay. Yeah, the Shrek, especially the first one.
Yeah.
First one. The 27th one was getting a little old.
Yeah, no.
You know, Shrek celebrates Labor Day was a bit much.
Shrek hosts Adam Sandler for Christmas, I think was the one.
Shrek
for me.
Blended.
I'm going to leave Adam Sandler alone. That's the last one, so we can move on.
That's probably not the last one for me, so I don't know. Anyway, you know, this is The Adventures of Hiccup, voiced by Jay Baruchel. I actually looked that up because I refused to mispronounce it.
Mispronounce it. He's great. I love him.
I know some people who find his voice a little irritating. I think it's perfect here.
Yeah.
It's a great character. One of the things I love about this film is, first of all, you have a diversity of some sort. You have, of course, Hiccup having a disability.
Sure.
Which, you know, as someone with a disability, it's nice to see a positive role model, something that's not portrayed in a negative way. This time around, of course, the first film gave us, you know, the dragons and the Vikings learn to get along. They learn they can coexist. Burke becomes this wonderful, peaceful place. And so we pick up from there. I believe we're 5 years later.
Right.
This time. And, you know, you have Hiccup kind of being groomed by his father. I can't remember who's voicing his father.
Gerard Butler.
Thank you.
My mom would shoot me if I did not know that. She's like the president of the Gerard Butler fan club.
Yeah, your mom gets excited every time a Gerard Butler film.
She does.
I do know your mom.
Yes, you do.
I do know your mom. So she gets excited when Gerard Butler films are coming to the theater.
She's a Gerard Butler fan.
And like 90% of them stink.
But it doesn't matter. She is in line to watch it. And she's the one person. The one person. That owns it on DVD when it comes out. So.
Wow.
So sorry, not to get
it. Does she like his vocal work?
I'm not sure it's his vocal work that she's interested in. So.
No. So Hiccup is being groomed by his father to become chief of Burke.
Right.
And his former rival, Astrid, is now his girlfriend.
Sure.
So,
fiance, maybe.
Fiance,
it's sort of
they're clearly planning for the future.
Right, right.
He kind of likes to wander around. He's not sure he wants to be chief. He wanders around. He discovers new lands, and he stumbles across a dragon trader.
Right.
Which kind of throws everything into chaos.
And, yeah, it sort of sets off the main antagonism in the movie, and it's, you know, Demajan Hansu is the antagonist.
Who we don't see enough of.
We don't see enough of, but you got to talk about great voice work. I just like his voice. It has such... you know, meat to it, you know, but yeah, and he's good in his limited time, but yeah.
Yeah, he plays a serious baddie in this film.
Serious baddie. Yeah.
So.
With anger issues.
With anger issues.
Who looks like he's in a metal band. So, yeah, he does. Like, you know, he should be in Slipknot, I think.
Wow.
Based on his look.
So, I mean, the animation in this film is amazing.
It's beautiful. It's just beautiful to...
we were talking about this. We both kind of despise the whole 3D frivolous thing, and yet this film does actually use it well.
See it in 3D, and that's not an upsell. That is, it's beautiful in 3D. It's, you know, there's so many of those scenes where they're just flying through the clouds, and the wisping. You know, a lot of times with the CG movies, they're still working on perfecting that, but there were like just little things in this movie that, from a technical standpoint, you're like, how did they, the wispiness of the clouds. You know, there's a scene where he's just kind of floating along in the clouds and another rider on a dragon comes up, and just the way the clouds split for them as they're flying through, it's just amazing. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous movie. John Powell has another really great score. I love the score from the first one, and I really like the score from this one as well. This music is sweeping and swelling, and not to mention just the storyline in general.
I left this film and I thought, okay, even kind of knowing what I was getting into, so it didn't have quite the surprise factor of the first film, I was still just completely enchanted by it.
Yeah.
It's hard to picture. Now, did you wonder, and I can't remember, you have kids.
I do not have kids.
You do not have kids?
No.
Okay.
No. My brother has kids.
Your brother has kids. Okay.
That are often around, but yes.
Because I was wondering, because a couple of the scenes are kind of intense.
There are some, I was thinking that, there's. I don't want to ruin anything, but there's a couple moments where I'm like, ooh, you know, how are kids going to, there could be some conversation. I mean, nothing inappropriate.
Nothing. Bigger, it's a PG rated film.
PG rated, just some life event type things that, you know, that come up in life.
The kind of choices you might expect from a Pixar film.
Right.
A little more mature.
A little more bold, a little more risky. Yeah.
I was impressed. You just might be having a conversation with your kids when you go home.
Absolutely.
So, just a really nicely done film. So, I mean, this weekend is great. I mean, you have a nice adult comedy that you can go see. 22 Jump Street is R rated, and it does earn that R.
It does earn it. it earns every inch of that R.
So, and How to Train Your Dragon 2 certainly lives up to the original film. It's just a really well done film.
And if you have kids, if you don't have kids, go see it. It's great for everybody. How to Train Your Dragon. It's or two. How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, don't
2.
Take your kids to 22 Jump
Street.
No,
please don't. Please. That's a whole other conversation. But please, folks, if you have children and it's rated R, do not bring them. Just don't. It's bad mojo for everybody.
So I think that's How to Train Your Dragon.
Yes, 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 yes.
Wow. All right. I think that was an enthusiastic. That was pretty exciting. I kind of want to be the one who actually records those sound bits. They're kind of. I'm kind of jealous of that. I don't know. I wonder if they make a. Do they make a full time career out of that?
Voice tracking?
That kind of thing, yeah.
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 That we can get you in here and have a folder of excited Richard tracks.
Just to make sure WFYI goes off the air after all these years. No. Let's just scare all of the listeners. No. Wow. All right. Do we want to mention the other films or do we need to take a...
Go ahead.
All right. Let's just go quickly. A couple other things coming up. The Rover.
Yeah, we got The Rover. It's kind of an atmospheric trailer here, but take a listen.
What feeling do you have when you wake up in the morning? When your feet touch the floor? Or before that, when you're lying there, thinking about your feet hitting the floor. What feeling do you have? What does that feel like for you?
If you're not Australian, you're probably saying to yourself, what did they just say? No, that was Rover, which is The Rover, which is opening up nationwide right now. But I think hits theaters, Landmark Keystone, next weekend. Stars Robert Pattinson and Guy Pearce. It's an Australian crime drama. It's kind of the follow-up to Animal Kingdom, which kind of came out of nowhere and was an unexpected hit. Jackie Weaver got an Oscar nomination for her performance in that film. This one didn't work quite as well for me. I mean, it's a good film, and I will say Robert Pattinson does a nice job in it. I think what I like about him is he's really trying hard to break out of that, you know,
Twilight.
I spent years doing Twilight kind of thing. And, you know, unlike Taylor Lautner, he actually has a chance of breaking out of it. I think Taylor Lautner will forever be known as the Pex. I mean, that's just all he's ever going to be known for. So anyway, I actually had originally put this on the schedule because I thought it was opening up here this week. But I was just checking here a couple hours ago, and I think it's not going to open up till next week here in Indianapolis. But if you're a Robert Pattinson fan, it's definitely worth checking out because he does a nice job in it. It's a grittier side to Pattinson. It's if you liked Animal Kingdom, I don't think you'll like this one as much, but it's still a pretty decent crime drama. So the Australians know how to do that kind of thing, and they've done it here. So the other film opening up in limited release, had a little controversy for it this year. Alone Yet Not Alone, which is a historical faith-based drama.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's I just think it stinks. It's just a bad film. I'm sorry if you're listening and you were involved in the film. You were involved in a bad film.
Do better.
Do better. Do better work. I'm sorry. You can't act. You can't do production design. You can't direct. I will say, I actually do like the song.
That was nominated. I'm doing air quotes with my fingers. I know we're on radio. But nominated for an Oscar.
Johnny Erickson Tata sang it.
Right.
Which, you know, those who know her know she's a quadriplegic, and it took some effort for her to do that. I mean, right. She's kind of described that. I'm on her mailing list, and so I do like her, and I like the song. But that was an interesting drama. I mean, the fact that it got an Oscar nomination was kind of unexpected.
Excuse me.
And then it got, of course, disqualified.
Right.
I think the producer had done some inappropriate emailing was like the allegation.
That, correct. And was actually lobbying for votes and
for the
smaller subsection that does that voting. The thing about that always kind of floored me is that, well, that happened in February, January,
I believe so.
February,
yeah.
Is if that had happened in any other arena, if that had happened in sports, if that had happened in reality TV, if it had happened in anything, there had been a voting scandal, it would have been this huge deal.
Yeah.
But it sort of was just sort of, whatever, it's the Oscars. People sort of, us, film guys like us, we paid attention.
But we paid attention.
Mainstream people, not so much.
Country music fans, I want to make this note about the film. Clay Walker, who's a country music singer, is actually in the film.
All right.
Which doesn't really mean much because he's better at country music.
Sure.
But if you're a Clay Walker fan, I think I drive poor Kobe crazy in the course of a show.
That was just what a great and broad statement there. He's just better at country music.
It doesn't necessarily mean he's good at country music.
I didn't say he was good. Yeah, no.
He's just better at country music.
He's better at country music. You know, it's... he is. No, actually, maybe this is just not the right role for him, but... I think there might have been one emotion in the film at some point.
Just one emotion?
One emotion. It was fleeting 7 seconds, I think. No, actually, I was not... We know I like faith-based cinema. I cover it on my site. You know, and I am a pastor, so I don't easily bash faith-based films, but I really, this one just didn't work for me. So anyway, that's pretty much it for the theaters this week. I think we will take a break here, and then we'll come back and we will talk about the DVD releases for the week. This is WFYI HD to the Point Film Sociology.
Oh, man, I was...
either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know what I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Wow!
And here we are again.
Well, I think we should give an extra rest in peace to Blockbuster Video.
Speaking of dead things we like.
Bye-bye.
Clerks. That's a classic.
I'm a Kevin Smith fan. Even his bad stuff, I like.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
there's just something about him I like, first of all.
Right.
And so, anyway. And unfortunately, he does not have anything on DVD this week.
No.
Or Blu-ray. Or Criterion. Or anything fun. Really, this is a horrible week, which is great because here in Indianapolis, the weather is supposed to be fantastic this weekend. So you should get out and go to a movie theater, go to Carmike, go to Metropolis.
Metropolis 18.
Metropolis 18, thank you. I keep forgetting what to call it. I admit it. I don't know. So go to a real movie theater. Yes, I know you'll only briefly be out in the sun, but you know, don't stay home and watching bad movies.
No. Yeah, there's slim pickings this week.
There's slim pickings this week. It seems like it's been a slow season. I mean, the times that I've done this show recently, it seems like every time it's a bad film. It's like,
or do you just
and
hate
I know
that
I'm
much.
A hater, quitter. I am a hater. I know I'm proud of that. You know, that's okay, what do we have? We have Nonstop.
Liam Neeson, action movie.
Julianne Moore,
Lupita Nyong'o, is that her
Nyong'o,
name?
Nyong'o, the Oscar winner from 12 Years a Slave.
She's in that as well.
Yeah, this was like her second film, and
right.
Before she really, well, obviously before she was an Oscar winner, and
right.
Hopefully her judgment will get better.
If somebody offers you an opportunity before you're big to be in a Liam Neeson
well,
action
yeah,
movie,
absolutely.
You're
before,
jumping at it.
I'm with that. Heck, if she had shown up in Blended, I would have been happy.
She's going to be in Star Wars, so she just
she is.
I just saw they announced she's in the Star Wars.
I
want to
know who she's going to play.
She is a unannounced character, but she is on the last casting call for that.
That's pretty impressive.
I'm
unless
excited.
George Lucas directs, and then it's
he's not
very
directing.
Impressive.
It's J.J. Abrams.
Oh, that's right. So. Okay.
Expect lots of lens flares.
So she's got, you know, this is basically Liam Neeson in the air.
Correct.
And
you're wondering, like, how if somebody's going to get taken on a plane, how he's going to save
yeah,
them from being on
what
a plane.
Is this just taken on a plane?
It's
pretty
for
close.
All intents and purposes, like from the beats of it. Yes, it's, you know, it's he's sort of being framed in the air for. This is the basic plot of the movie, is he's being framed for taking this plane hijacking this plane. He's a sky marshal, and it looks as though he has decided to take this plane, everyone on this plane hostage. So he kind of has to unravel this setup while he's in the air, and then, you know, insanity ensues, and, you know, he has to fight people on a plane. So.
But there are no snakes on the plane.
There are no snakes.
No.
Disappointing.
In fact, really, the film would have been better if there had been some snakes on the plane or Samuel L. Jackson on the plane.
The thing that annoyed me the most is a lot of the movie, like a surprisingly lot of the dialogue in the movie is done through text message that they just put on screen. So, I mean, like it's a disturbing amount of that movie is done that way. And it just sort of takes you out of it every time. But if you really, really like Liam Neeson action movies, like if Liam Neeson is your jam. Go ahead and pick it up.
If
Liam Neeson is your jam, you will probably be okay with this
one. I think you have a
one.
Trademark phrase now.
Yeah, is that
first Liam time on the show and you have a trademark phrase.
I like Liam Neeson's. So.
Liam Neeson's?
Liam Neeson's, yeah.
No, yeah, I didn't think this was a horrible film. I you know, I've certainly seen worse action flicks. I wish he'd do something else because the guy can act.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, okay, get over the grief of your wife and get back to acting, please.
Right, something gritty.
Gritty.
Yeah.
Do, you know, do something that requires showing more than your gruff emotion.
Absolutely.
You know, so anyway, but for an action flick, it's decent. It's a decent rental, I suppose. I'm not sure I would buy it.
Definitely wouldn't buy it. No. Unless you're really into Liam Neeson. So, yeah, no, it commits the sin of being forgettable. I guess that's really what you're talking about.
My whole goal in life is to never be forgettable.
Don't be forgettable. You're not going to be able to. In a year, you won't be able to tell people the name of this movie. In a year and a half, you will hardly remember anything about
the plot. What's the name of that movie with Liam Neeson's
right.
He's in the plane?
Taken? Yeah. No.
No. It's Taken, but it's in the plane.
Taken on a plane?
No.
Yeah, it's going to be that.
Were the snakes taken on a plane?
No. No, that's not it.
That's not it?
No.
Okay.
What else is out?
What else is out? Oh, yeah, we have another forgettable action flick out, Kobe. I think you should run out and watch it with Lady Bianca. I don't know why I call her that, but I like to call her that, and hopefully she's not offended by it. Does she actually listen to your show?
Yeah.
Does she really?
Yep, and her dad's probably listening right now in California.
Wow. Hello,
so Bianca, hello.
So we actually do have two listeners.
Yeah.
Life is good! I knew this was not a waste of my time. Wow, so basically I'm here to help Kobe's marriage.
There we go.
That's a beautiful thing.
Free therapy.
It's a family affair.
Oh, I love that. No, Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit, which is kind of the reboot of the Jack Ryan...
Tom Clancy series.
Sounds like you know them better than I do.
Harrison Ford, you know, Clear Present Danger. I love this. The first Jack Ryan on screen was Alec Baldwin, right? Hunt for Red October. Harrison Ford is kind of known in the role. People forget Ben Affleck.
We try to forget Ben
Affleck. We do, but he was Sum of All Fears, which is actually like...
He is the sum of all my fears.
This is the crazy thing about that movie, because you want to talk about forgettable action movies, Sum of All Fears, is in the top five all-time grossing movies for Ben Affleck.
Really?
I don't think I would have known that, but it is.
Wow.
How weird is that? So
that's kind of bumming me out, actually. Thanks for depressing me.
Sorry
before
about
the end of the show, dude.
Talk about Ben Affleck.
I am.
You know, he's a good director. I love him as a director.
Now he's starting to make bad choices again, though. I'm thinking the whole, what is he, Batman?
He's Batman, and he's on deck to direct something in that world, that Warner Brothers.
It's like he just couldn't handle being successful. I'm wondering if he maybe has a personality disorder.
But again, this is another one of those things. If Warner Brothers comes to you,
come over and kick my butt before I leave.
Yeah, he's going to go home and cry on a pillow next to Jennifer Garner, and that's what's really going to happen here. But if Warner Brothers comes to you and says, "Would you like to play Batman?" Can you say no?
I can, but
I don't think I could. I think most people, it's been their dream to be Batman.
But
so Wonder Woman's fantastic.
I am really.
We need a Wonder Woman.
I was
movie.
Made to play Wonder Woman.
I like Chris Pine, who plays Jack Ryan in this movie. I like him in general.
He was better than I expected.
Yeah, but the movie is boring.
I think the movie does not live up to his effort in the movie.
Agreed.
So, and truthfully, I'm not sure I could tell you anything else about the film.
Really?
I mean,
really
honestly, can't. It was truly forgettable.
Kenneth Branagh's in it.
Really?
And
has he made a decent film in the last 10 years?
He's another one that directs a lot.
He directs a lot, and he's a good actor. I'm not bashing him. He's a good actor.
No.
But
he has an odd Russian accent in this movie. That's what I remember about what I remember of it.
I do remember that. So anyway, there is that. Let's see. Was there anything? I don't think there was anything else memorable about that film.
No.
If you are a Tom Clancy fan, I suppose. It's
if Tom Clancy is your jam.
This is sort of a broader thing. It's interesting to see how they update that character, because that's a character that was written for the Cold War era. How they've written,
True.
How they've updated that. That was the most interesting part of that movie, but that's the first 20 minutes of that movie, and it kind of just wanders aimlessly ever after that. But it was interesting to see them update that for, you know, more of a current, what's currently happening in our world. The movie starts with him.
Did you dislike it less than Blended?
On TV.
Where was it on the blended scale?
On the blended scale, it's a high on the blended scale. So,
wow.
Like, it's, like, blended, and then it's
is that because
Confessions
of
a Marriage Counselor is, like, down here.
Wow.
Like the bottom, so
that was that truly a blend. Horrible film.
Oh, my.
And this I even like Halle Perry.
Try describing the plot of that movie to someone, and they will look at you, and they will think you are insane. I've tried it. It's I was watching, I had to screen that movie, and I'm literally sorry. Was doing a live, I decided like halfway through to start live tweeting, because I could not get over what I was watching, so I started live tweeting out the movie.
Wow.
So, okay, no, I didn't do that.
That is not on DVD this week.
No, I know, I'm sorry, I got a soft track here.
If you're a major Tyler Perry fan, you can look for that. Is that out already?
That is out. That's out.
Is it? Yeah. Wow. So if you're a Tyler Perry fan and you even like his bad stuff, yeah.
That's,
and let's be honest, he has some bad stuff. I like Tyler Perry. He's done some good stuff. I like for what he does.
Sure.
Again, you know.
Can we talk about Tyler Perry for a second?
We can.
We have 2 seconds.
I think we have time.
I would like to see Tyler Perry.
Are you bragging because you have hands, Kobe? It's feet that I don't
you
have.
You have hands too, Richard.
I would just like to see, he's another one that I think he's got a lot of talent.
Yes.
And he's got an audience. I want to see him do something with that. I want to see less
pandering. You're kind of high maintenance, aren't you?
I am incredibly high maintenance.
And, I'm glad I don't work for you, dude.
No.
You sound tough.
I'm done. That's my Tyler Perry commentary.
I agree. His last 3 or 4 films have felt like he was burned out.
Right.
I mean,
going through the motions.
Yeah. It just felt like, okay, let's get through the contract. I think he just wrapped up his Lionsgate contract.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like. It feels like, let's get through the contract because I've got too many other projects on the side. And
I'm just waiting for that great movie from him.
Medea is going to kill herself at some point because even she's tired of working with Tyler
Perry.
Probably
right. I don't know.
So anyway, also out this week, a really good documentary. If you're into the doc scene, if you like Penn and Teller, you will like Tim's Vermeer.
Yes.
It's out. I think that I don't think it got an Oscar nomination, which I think surprised a lot of people because it was a really well-done documentary. I'm not going to try to describe it. You know, it comes from the mind of Penn and Teller. But just know that it's out on DVD this week, so I definitely would recommend giving that a shot. You've got some stuff coming up at Carmike. I wanted to make sure we had a chance to talk about.
Yeah. Just for a second. Right now we're in the middle of our Summer Kids series. I shouldn't say the middle. We just started it this last week. It's every Thursday at 10 a.m. We do a lot of those really good family movies. Like this last week was The Croods, and this coming week is Turbo. And it's at 10 a.m. every Thursday through August 7th. And for $4, you can come in, you can watch the movie, and you also get popcorn and drink for that price. So
really?
Yeah,
wow.
A good little deal. Come out and watch
it. As I recall, Turbo is also a Truly Moving Picture Award winner.
I liked it. A lot of the movie takes place here in Indianapolis.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's really cool renderings of Indy and the Speedway and everything.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree with that.
I thought it didn't quite get the appreciation that it deserved when it was out.
Right.
I thought it was well done.
I have young nieces and nephews, and they all like that movie.
Really?
So, yeah, that's... definitely. Come out and see that one. And that's
I liked it
we also
despite
have...
Ryan Gosling.
You don't like Ryan Gosling?
No, it's Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
Which one
Ryan
of them's
Reynolds.
In it?
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
I liked it despite
say,
Ryan Reynolds.
I can live with that.
We also have coming up in that series, we have Lego Movie, which I absolutely loved earlier
this
year. I
like anything
year.
With leg in it.
Got that one. And we also have Mr. Peabody and Sherman. So there's some good stuff in there. And you can find that at our website at www.carmike.com and get a schedule for that. We also have got some great alternative content events coming up. This Monday and Tuesday, we have Doctor Who for the Doctor Who fans. We're doing a two-episode event, Doctor Who and the Cybermen. That's on Monday at 7:30.
Great.
The thing is, if you come to that, you can also go to the documentary narrated by David Tennant on Tuesday for no extra cost. And that's they put together – he had done a British documentary, and they kind of shrunk that down to an hour, and you can watch that at the theater. And that's at 7:30 as well. But one ticket gets you both events. So
okay. Yeah, and let's cool remind folks where your theater is at.
We're located at the Metropolis Mall. It's in Plainfield. Plainfield proper, so not too far off 70.
There's nothing proper about
Plainfield. We're right right between I-70 and US 40, which is Washington Street out there. And hey, I'll stand up for the good people of Plainfield. They treat us incredibly well. But
they're Quakers. They have to.
You're absolutely right.
They have to be friendly. It's you're in
right. the. But they, come on out.
Do you ever get hate mail after I'm on the show, Kobe?
I don't. Maybe Matt does.
I just every time I finish a show, I'm surprised I get invited back. It's just like, even as a guest, I used to think, okay, they're never going to have me back again. And now I get to guest host, and I'm just thinking Matt needs to work on his judgment skills.
Make better decisions.
We adore you, but make better decisions.
Speaking of decisions that you could make regarding movies.
Yes.
This weekend, if you don't want to see anything new in theaters, there are other options. Tonight,
there are.
Although it's sold out at the Indianapolis Museum of Art, their Friday night film series, they're showing Friday the 13th on Friday the 13th.
That's nicely timed.
Mm-hmm. And next week they have The Jerk, so looking forward to that.
I am not going to be there.
You're not going to deliver a symposium? No.
Poor black child.
This is my music. This week, Midnight Movies, a Keystone Landmark, returns with The Big Lebowski.
Dude!
Yes, dude.
The dude abides.
The dude does abide. So very cool to see that. And then also down at IU Cinema this weekend, tonight and tomorrow, Saturday, they will be showing Chef from this year. So a lot going on in theaters, in Plainfield, IU Cinema, IMA, Keystone Landmark.
Bedford,
Heartland, yes, the Heartland Mini Fest in Bedford.
You can look up
weekend.
The ticket information for that on heartlandfilm.org.
Yes.
And that's going to be a blast. They're showing some of the stuff from past festivals. I know Medora's tonight. Mm-hmm. That's a fantastic doc. There's a lot of good stuff going on in theaters. I don't know. It's kind of an exciting time. You know, Indianapolis is really kind of growing as a film market. I mean, we're getting more festivals. I mean, we got some good festivals coming up. We got Indie Film Fest coming up, Indie LGBT Film Fest coming up. Just some really good stuff going on in Indianapolis. A lot of creativity. It's pretty exciting.
And some good stuff going on in Richmond with the Richmond Shakespeare Festival. No,
well,
nothing there.
That's
nothing there, Rich. Come on, man.
I mean, have you ever actually read Shakespeare?
I'm giving Matt a plug here. This weekend, closing weekend of the Richmond Shakespeare Festival, Much Ado About Nothing tonight. Tomorrow, Saturday, The Tragedy of Romeo and Juliet, and Much Ado About Nothing again. And then Sunday, closing out 2 p.m., The Tragedy of Romeo and Juliet. Richmond Shakespeare.
And as Matt
Festival
would say, it's worth
org.
The ticket price. It's worth the drive. It's actually only about an hour away, so it's definitely worth it.
It's not as bad as it seems.
It's not as bad. They actually do have electricity now, so it's kind of worth the trip.
It's been a big week for them.
I'm not really sure they have plumbing, but, you know, that's what bushes are for. Are you trying to tell me to leave, or are you trying to tell me that we have 1 minute to go?
I'm telling you, we got 1 minute to go, man.
All right. Well, this is Richard Probst. Thank you for joining me, Shane.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Be sure to check out my writing on theindependentcritic.com. Be sure to listen next week when Matthew will be back. This is Film Sociology, HD2 The Point, WFYI.
We gone. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.